Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Happy Mondays, Bummed.
Okay, I'm completely in the dark on this one.
Me too. Well, this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, only a year after the intermittently thrilling Squirrel and G-Man, Happy Mondays snapped into focus on its sophomore album, 1988's Bummed. Focus is an odd word for the persistently addled, violently hedonistic Mondays. Yet Bummed has its own peculiar drug logic, lopping into view with the two-stepping country song, a cut so twisted it goes far beyond irony. Then settling into the dense groove of Moving In With, its hook buzzing and circling, causing a cacophony. Such vivid concrete textures are a hallmark of producer Martin Hannett, the Mancunian legend who has been brought on board to give the Happy Mondays direction by doing the opposite of what he did with Joy Division. His production, Unknown Pleasures, was stark, austere, but Bummed is all smeared colors and harsh edges, a fistful of razors and menace cutting viciously into the subconscious. This is nasty, nightmarish music delivered with a lascivious leer by Sean Ryder. A hallucinatory, accidental poet portrayed on the album's garish cover as some kind of harlot, put out to pasture. Decadence has rarely sounded as dangerous as it did in the hands of the Mondays, and this is where they reveled in that debauchery, pumping out stiff psychedelic funk as Ryder spat out rhymes of luck, lazy-itis, and fat lady wrestlers. Hannett's bright, brittle production amplifies everything, creating a swirling hyper-reality that's almost a sonic black hole, sucking everything into its vortex. Slide guitars, sound clips from performance, maniacally looped drum machines, Beatles melodies, drums that are pushed to the front of the mix so it all is a relentless assault from the ears down to the loins. As jagged and lacerating as all this is, there's a sense of evil glee that the Mondays want to drag you down to their level. But there's no sense of seduction here. You're either with them or not. As bummed is music for after you've already succumbed to the dark side.
Okay.
I still don't know what's going on, but this album was released on the 21st of November, 1988. Genres are Madchester, psychedelic funk, and acid house. Released on Factory Records and produced by Martin Hannett.
All right.
So if you're listening along, there's 10 songs in the album, and it's split evenly, 5 and 5 on side one and side two. So we'll take a pause after side one, and it starts with the song Country Song and ends with Performance. So if you're listening along with us, which we encourage you to do, you want to pause there, and we'll discuss the album halfway through. And so here we go. Here is the first song on the album called Country Song. Right, and ending side one with Performance. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking this.
I'm liking I think the songs themselves are really good. I'm having a hard time getting past all the reverb. There's a lot of reverb on everything. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that, but I think the music itself, they would probably be really good to see live, but yeah, I'm having a hard time getting past that reverb.
There is a lot of reverb on everything, but I think that's just part of that's sort of part of the genre, I think. Like it's and it's also the time period too. Like this came out in 1988, so
yeah, the it was a very common side effect of coming out of that period is production that way. It's just, but this seems like it's got even more than that. It seems very tinny to me.
Yeah, I think that's sort of on purpose. I get what you're saying, but I think that's sort of the like the review, like what the review was saying, like it's sort of like the drums are mixed so loud and that's the other thing, is the drums are mixed like really high in the mix, and then everything else is sort of buried underneath. And I think that's sort of the like part of the like this is like 80s psychedelic sort of thing, and which was a weird sort of underground thing that was happening in the 80s. And I think that's just part of it. I could be wrong, but what I'm hearing is like, yeah, put reverb on everything. And
okay, well, that could be the I don't know. I think it hurts it a bit, but other than that, I mean, the music's really good. The grooves are really good. Like moving in with, I thought that was a really strong one. Performance seemed to start off with a little less reverb, and I'm thinking, okay, see, this definitely fixes it a little bit. It started to get a little bit more as the song went on, but I think it helped. Country Song, I don't know what to make of that one. That one was a really odd song.
This is an odd album. And like their first album has their first album came out a year earlier, and it has a very strange long title. It's Squirrel and G-Man 24-Hour Party People Plastic Face Can't Smile, and in brackets, Whiteout.
That's the album.
That's the album title. Yes.
All
yeah.
Right.
So this is a band that's like, I think the reverb is sort of like, I don't know. I kind of take it as, oh, it's like, oh yeah, reverb's popular. Well, listen to this. And they just crank it on everything.
So it's like a subversive overuse of reverb you're thinking. That could be the case. But yeah, there's a lot of it. But I think, man, if I could crank down the reverb on some of it, I think I would enjoy it a little.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. And it's not my favorite sound either. I can tolerate it if it's like just on the drums or something like that, but you're right. It's on everything. And yeah, I don't know. But you're right. I mean, the songs are good. The performances are really good. This is like and the singer, like, it's kind of reminding me a little bit of like Nick Cave or something like that. A little bit of, not too familiar with them, but from what I've heard of like the Stone Roses, apparently this band was a big influence on bands like the Stone Roses and Oasis.
I can hear that. Yeah. I can hear a little bit of, this leading into like some of like Oasis and stuff like that for sure. Yeah, I can sort of hear that. But again, they sort of ran with the idea and cranked down the reverb. I don't know. I mean, the rest, I'm expecting a lot of that reverb to still be on this album throughout the rest of it, but I'm still listening to the songs themselves, and I still think the music itself is pretty strong, actually. So
yeah, I was reading something. So I think the reason the songs are really good and the performance is really good is, so this is just taken from Wikipedia. This is Hannett, the producer, would have the band perform the songs over and over for several hours at a time. As such, would record the majority of the album live. Due to his previous experience as a bass player, Hannett spent time alone with Paul Reiter working on a specific sound. Hannett ran the instrument through a multitude of digital filters, time modulation, and effects pedals. Like, it's so tight. They recorded this live, basically. And like, they're all playing at the same time. And they just would run through the songs over and over and over and over again. And apparently a big influence on this band is the Beatles. And actually Paul McCartney said he saw them on TV, a performance on TV, and said they remind me of the Beatles during like the Strawberry Fields era.
I can sort of hear that. I can hear it's the lyrics of whatever. I don't remember the singer's name.
Sean Ryder, I think.
Yeah. Sean Ryder, yeah. But his lyrics, they sound very almost John Lennon-esque, especially around that period. Yeah. I can definitely hear that. It's definitely that sort of 1967 Beatles.
Yeah. And I'm curious to hear the rest of the album. So I guess we'll move on to the second side, and it starts with the song Brain Dead. So here we go. All right, and ending the album with Lazy Itis. Yeah, more reverb on the rest of the album.
Yeah, I thought some of the other songs, I'm starting to sort of get where they're coming from. I thought Lazy Itis was pretty cool with that sitar line going through it. And also some other...
Borrowed melody from the Beatles there. Yeah.
Yes.
From We Can Work It Out.
Not We Can Work It Out. It was...
Is it Ticket to Ride?
Yes, it was Ticket to Ride. Yeah, I was picking up some of the, you know, other things that they were doing around here. I was a little bit surprised at how short the last two songs and the Rote for Luck was quite long. Yeah, it's just I don't really have much else to say about it. It's sort of interesting.
I really like this. I like the band. I'm glad I discovered it. I got used to the reverb. Like it didn't stand out as much as it initially did.
Yeah. I was starting to get used to it too. I think a couple more listens and it probably would be sort of settled in there. But yeah, initially it sort of smacks you upside the head, and it's just like, that's a lot of reverb, guys.
Yeah, well, like part of the review that I was trying to find earlier was the production was described as all smeared colors and harsh edges, which is very true. I mean, it's like these bright, you know, colors, but with that reverb on, it's like these. It's very prickly. Yeah. Whereas like 60s psychedelic
is kind of smooth,
smooth and warm, and this is sort of like, this is 80s, and this is like, yeah, the hard edges and cold and but I think like that's kind of where they're going, what they were going for, and the producer on this is the one who produced Joy Division, and I don't know if you're that familiar with Joy Division, and I can definitely hear that sort of, but he said he wanted to do the opposite, but you know, there's still some influence or some technique that you pick up that you still use. And so it's interesting that it sort of has those 80s characteristics, and at the same time, like these songs were all basically recorded live, and it's like the performance is live, but then they just, when they were mixing it, they added all these effects and stuff, and like that's kind of interesting, because like if you think about like the Beatles psychedelic era, and like the 67, specifically 67 with like Sgt. Pepper, it was designed to not, it's weird because it's supposed to sound like a live album, but it was very much not recorded live. And that was the point, because they wanted to get away from their live performance. So it's interesting that the approach to their influences, they're being influenced by the Beatles, and the Beatles' approach to psychedelic music, and really Strawberry Fields was deliberately designed to not be played live. It was a studio creation.
Yes, there was a few songs like that, but yeah, I can see that one being in particular. Yeah.
And so it's interesting that when the Beatles went to do their psychedelic stuff, they said, okay, no live performances. We're not all setting up and playing live like we usually do. We're going to like overdub and layer the stuff on top of each other. Whereas their approach is to perform the songs live and then using like effects and like everything else, that's where the sound is going to come from, or the sonic quality is going to come from. It's just fascinating, the different the approach.
The different approaches. Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of different psychedelic albums from the 60s and stuff like that were, again, live off the floor in a lot of cases. But yeah, to get some of those wilder things, like, I mean, if you're doing a backwards guitar, there was no other way to do it than to play it backwards and then record it, flip it around, and there you have it. So yeah, doing that live would be practically impossible. I mean, now there's like things that allow you to sort of at least get the effect, if not an actual playing it backwards, to do something like that live, is now sort of possible. But it's interesting how on this, I mean, they added the weirder effects afterwards, but still the main core of the performance is a live performance.
And yeah, I'm curious about that first album too, Squirrel and G-Man, 24-Hour Party, People, Plastic, Face, Can't Smile, Whiteout. I love that title. Yeah, I mean, I never would have heard of this band if it weren't for this list of, and that's happened a few times, and yeah, I'm like really curious about, now I've got, like, I was reading about the Madchester scene, which is like Manchester, but Madchester. But yeah, no, I'm curious about looking into more of that stuff because I'm not that very familiar with. But, you know, the question, though, is would you listen to this again?
I feel like I might have to, and I probably would enjoy it upon another listen. I mean, it's sort of hit me over the head on the first initial listen. As I'm listening on, I'm like, okay, I kind of dig what these guys are doing. I still wish there wasn't so much reverb. I could probably get past that on a few other listens. It's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I would too. I really enjoyed this. I'm curious about there are other stuff. So yeah, I would definitely listen to this again. Yeah. So definitely. Like you said, the reverb hard to get, like it's a little jarring at first, but I know what you're saying. But I found myself getting used to it and sort of like, okay, settling into it. I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can always reach out to us by going to the contact page of our website, polyphonicpress.com. And while you're there, you can check out previous episodes. If you'd like to support the show, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/polyphonicpress. It's really easy. You don't need to sign up for anything. All those links are in the show notes, and I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.